at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in. There thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou comest forth out of Egypt. So, where is God going to accept your offerings and your sacrifices? Where? Only in that place that he, God, has chosen to place his name there. Amen. In the Old Testament, he placed his name in the temple, because that was where the ark of God was placed. Glory be to God. That is why 1 Kings chapter 8. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 8. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the ark has been returned to the temple. Solomon has built the temple. And this is what he said from verse 12. Then spake Solomon, listen very carefully. The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood up. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spake with his mouth unto David my father, and has with his hand fulfilled his saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel, and it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thy heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thy heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I'm risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel, and I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands towards heaven. Now listen. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above, or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Who has kept with thy servant David my father, that thou promisest him, thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, that thou promisest him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to thy way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Somebody take note of that verse 27. Hey, listen. It's important to what I want to say before we close my sermon. Verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet, have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayed before thee today, that thy eyes may be opened towards this house night and day, even towards the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place. Now notice, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place. That is where I am going. Wherever. Okay, let me finish. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thy altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and do, and judge thy servant, condemning the wicked to bring his soul upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee, where? In this house. Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray towards this place, towards where? Towards this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin. And you can read it on and on and on and on. The emphasis is, because God came and placed his name in that temple, therefore, anywhere they will pray, whatever, wherever they scatter them to because of their sin, he said, if they pray towards that temple, God hear them. Praise the Lord. That is why till today, wherever they build their synagogue, wherever their altars are, it will face Jerusalem. It is always facing that side till today. Even as they are in diaspora, wherever they are, all the prayer they pray, they don't just pray anywhere. There is a particular direction they will face. And that is exactly what Satan is imitating. When you see also the Muslims praying, they also have their own where they point to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, church. If you understand the Old Testament, you will understand the New Testament. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But now watch it. In Hebrews chapter 10. Can we read it? Amen. Hallelujah. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, there is a reference to a psalm there. Now it says, let me read it from verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, God of creation cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering, thou willest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That point, the beginning of God leaving any building, hallelujah, and coming into a body that is prepared for him. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that body was prepared through the womb of the Virgin Mary. If you are still with me, just wave your hand. Let me know how many people I'm talking to. Okay, okay, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You are listening to me. It's a sacrifice. An offering. Thou willest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. When he was to come into the world. When he was stepping from eternity to time. Amen. He dwells in eternity. He has no beginning, he has no end. Praise God. Now he was stepping from his domain to another realm. He said, sacrifice and offerings. It is over. I need a body so that I can come and dwell among you. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you will understand the prophecy in Malachi chapter 3. Open it. Bible study. We do Bible study every Friday. I will soon finish. Then we'll prophesy. Hallelujah. Some people don't like my prophecy. So. Oh, God, Joe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, Joe, be in the spirit. I'll soon give you a microphone. I want to see vision for them. Verse 1, Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly, somebody shout suddenly. Say it again. Say it very loud. This prophecy was hanging for years. This prophecy was hanging for over 400 years. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is that messenger? Say very loud. John the Baptist. Thank you very much. You know your Bible. And the Lord whom you seek, that is the God that you worship, the God of Israel, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. That scripture was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. John the Baptist was by the riverside baptizing. And suddenly, blessed be the name of the Lord. A man, Jesus Christ, he came. Oh, glory be to God. The same man that John, in John chapter 1, verse 29, he said, he looked at him and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He saw him. How did he know he's the one? He said, the man upon whom God told him, he said, the one that sent him, John the Baptist, his messenger, to prepare the way for him. Who was he preparing the way for? He was preparing the way for the creator of the heavens and the earth to step down and dwell among man. A virgin shall conceive, and his name shall be called who? Emmanuel. Meaning what? God with us. God was coming to dwell among man. And he prepared a body for himself. For God is a spirit. Amen. Glory be to God. It was time for him to redeem his people. And the law of redemption, like I preached the message. If you have not gotten that message because you went for Christmas the time I preached it, go and get it. Why the virgin birth? That's the title of the sermon. Why did he come by the virgin birth? Get the message. Praise the Lord. We explain why he came by the virgin birth. Now, why did he come by virgin birth? Why at all? Number one reason is, for all have sinned. I'm falling short of the glory of God. Every human being, church, listen. Every human being born by a man and a woman union, we carry a curse from the Garden of Eden. And the law of redemption says, you must be next of kin to whom you will redeem. And man fell, but there is no man qualified because there is another law. Before you can qualify, you must also be free. Somebody, a slave, cannot deliver another slave. Somebody in bondage cannot deliver another person in bondage. And no man was free. And because no man was free, God himself has to come down as a human being and bypass that curse by that virgin birth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that he can be qualified to deliver us. That's why in Revelation chapter 5, he that sitteth on the throne with a book, and the angel was showing John, no man was qualified to receive that book from he that sitteth on the throne. And John was crying. Hallelujah. Crying because there's something about that book. While he was crying, because it means we have seen it, there is something we should know. There is something in that book. And the angel of the Lord said, "Weep not, John." Hallelujah. For there is somebody that has prevailed. The lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. And he turned and he saw the lamb. Hallelujah. Walked to him that was on the throne and received it. Only Christ bypassed the law, the curse that every man was imputed to. Listen, church. When you are a Christian, you're on the right path. This deep revelation, no other religion has it. This process, none. Nobody knew that that man that was walking on the shores of Galilee, that it was the creator of the heavens and the earth walking. How? There is the name Jesus and there is the man Jesus. That's what I want to explain to you briefly. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And suddenly that man came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was baptizing. And as he dipped him in the water and brought him out, the heavens opened. And the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove into him. And a voice from heaven spoke to the whole world. "This is my beloved Son, in whom," inside of him, "in whom I am well pleased." From that day, he became the temple of God. From that day, Jesus Christ became God's dwelling place. That's why I say, no building, prayer assembly is not God's dwelling place. Do you understand me now? Yes, where two or three are gathered in my name, he is there. Yes, his presence is here. But where he has chosen to place his name, after all, we are not bearing Jesus here. We are bearing bright assembly. I don't know whether somebody understands what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. We only call upon him here. We call upon him here. And anywhere they are calling upon him, his presence will come down. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you understand why. Hallelujah. He said, suddenly, the Lord whom you seek shall come to his temple. Suddenly, as he sent his messenger, John the Baptist, Malachi chapter 3, to prepare the way for him. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. So that you'll understand why Jesus Christ said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." They didn't know that he was referring to himself as the temple of God. And they were thinking that he was looking at the temple. In John chapter 4, he met that woman by the well. And the woman there was a Samaritan woman. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they are arguing over where is the correct place to worship. Like we are still arguing today. Every denomination believes that their own is the correct one. Everyone believes that their own is the correct one. And suddenly Jesus Christ made a statement. He said, "You worship, you know not what." After all, salvation is of the Jews. What was he saying? You are worshiping a God, you don't even know what you are doing. He said, "The time has come where you will neither worship in any mountain or in any temple." The Jews say in a temple. You Samaritans say in a mountain. So all of you, when they run, go mountain. All of you, when they run, go from church to church. The time has come where you will neither worship in any place. God's place where you meet with him is not in any church. God's place where you meet with him is not in any building anywhere. God is looking for true worshippers. Where will they worship him? In spirit and in spirit. Why in any building? Praise the Lord. The only place, listen, church, where God has chosen to meet with man is in that place where he has chosen to place his name there. So that you'll understand. Oh, Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you understand, Jesus Christ, the name Jesus was prophesied that his name, that child that will be born, shall be called Jesus. For he shall be called the Son of the Most High. That name Jesus is the name of the creator of the heavens and the earth. And because God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, he became the temple of God. Therefore, he placed his name there. God, meeting place. God's meeting place with man. Now, listen, church. It's not anywhere else. It is in Christ Jesus. That is why, don't join a church. Join the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:28. I'm talking to somebody. And I know this message I'm preaching, somebody will listen to it one day. They listen to it. They go to our archives in the YouTube, in our website. They listen to it. There are people that are just feeding on only what we are preaching in this ministry all over the world. That's why I take my time and I nail it down. Church, God's meeting place with us is in Christ Jesus. That is where he has chosen to place his name there. That's why Jesus Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? Because he has become the temple of God. Hallelujah. The identity is identify where God is. That's where God is. The man Jesus and the name Jesus, understand it. If you understand the name Jesus, then you will understand the man Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said in verse 43, in John chapter 5, he said, I come in my Father's name. Jesus says so. You will not receive me. If another come in his name, him will you receive. In John 17, verse 6, he was saying, I have manifested thy name to the people that you have given me. Which name was he talking about? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In John chapter 10, verse 25, He said, if you don't believe me, he said, at least believe me for the works that I do in my Father's name. He said, they testify of me. Hey, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that you'll understand why he told Philip in John 14. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. He said, I am my Father. Are one. Philip said, show me the Father. Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. He said, Philip, have I been so long with you? And you still don't know me? Have I not told you, if you see me, you see the Father? Why are you saying that? So he said, from now on, you have seen him, for he has been with you. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus was Emmanuel. Somebody shout Emmanuel. Oh, say it again. Hallelujah. Why did they call him Emmanuel? Hallelujah. Because John chapter 4, if you read it from verse 10 and verse 11, the emphasis there, it says, believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The Father and I are one, because I am in him, and he is in me. Why? Because Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 says, it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ, inside of him, should all fullness dwell. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, he said, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, fullness. In John chapter 3 and verse 34, he said, for God giveth him not the Spirit by measure. So the fullness of God was in him. He's the only man that has the fullness. It's not by a measure. All of us operate by a measure. He, the fullness was in him. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19 says, for God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. And the Bible said there is only one mediator. That is what made him the mediator. Between God and man. And he's not Saint Mary. And it is not Saint Jude. And it is not Saint Bartholomew. It is not any man anywhere. It is the man Jesus. Therefore, anybody that wants to baptize any child and come and stand as a godfather, stand as a mediator for that child, is a blasphemous action. Jesus Christ is already standing for that child. Don't take the position of Jesus. Is Jesus Christ dead? He's alive. He's still alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you understand 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. He said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, blessed be the name of the Lord, was God in the flesh, which made him Emmanuel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And because God dwelt in him, Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9, hallelujah, is highly exalted and is given a name that is above every name. And the name that is above every name is the name of the creator of the heavens and the earth. And the Bible in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 says that name Jesus is the family name. And the family name of every family here is the name of the head of the family. And the head of our family is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That at the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Of things in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth, you must bow and give glory to God. Therefore, you can understand verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said after resurrection, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he said, go ye into the world, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name. And that's where denominations get very confused. They are to baptize in the name. The emphasis is the name of the Father. And it is also the name of the Son. And it is the name of the Holy Ghost. And it is the name for redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, in words or in deeds, whatever we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Mark 16. Hallelujah. He said, in my name. Which name? Hallelujah. When he said my name, he's personalizing it. Revelation makes us know who is the owner of that name. In my name, you shall cast out devils. Because his name is the name of the Father. His name is the name of our God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous running into it and he is saved. As I explained earlier, that is what we do through water baptism. That is why every baptism in the Bible was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you have given your life to Christ, you have denounced Satan and all his works and decided to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then run under that name. And you take that name in water baptism that washes you, washes away all that the accuser of the brethren is accusing you of from the Garden of Eden until that day. Every baptism in the Bible was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because that name is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And all the big, big Jews cannot understand this. They are telling us, no, Father is different, Son different, Holy Ghost different. They take you inside the water and baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and put you inside water and bring you out. They have not obeyed Matthew 28:19. The name of the Father, what is the name? And he gave his name to his Son because he was in his Son, reconciling the world to himself. So he put his name in his Son. What is the name of the Son? And the name of the Son is the name of the Father. And the Holy Ghost is coming in that name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is the name for our redemption. One name, Jesus, the name of the Father. Jesus, the name of the Son. 14:26, John 14:26, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name. The Holy Ghost is coming in his name because it is still the third stage of the work of redemption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Somebody understand the meaning of that statement. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Why did he call it secret? It's secret because he did not reveal it to everybody. He that has ear to hear, brother, thank you. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It is secret. Until it is revealed to you, you will never understand it. Hallelujah. Even as to many that believe on the name of the Son. If you don't believe in the name of the Son, you will never be saved. Because salvation comes by that name only. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In words, in deeds, Colossians chapter 3 verse 7, whatever you do as a Christian, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. We cast out devils in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that you understand who can tell what is the name of his Son. Who knows who has created all things? What is his name? And what is the name of his Son? Verse 4 of Proverbs 30. What is the name of his Son? The name of his Son is the name of the Son's Father. Hey. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why Apostle Paul caught this revelation. I was telling the Jews, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ, verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 10, is the end, hallelujah, of the law for righteousness. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. To everyone that believe, because some don't believe. If you don't believe, go ahead. That's so that you understand why he says in verse 6, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That name, Jesus, I want somebody to appreciate that name. Appreciate that name. Appreciate that name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And remember, when we stand praying, if there's anybody here you have not yet baptized correctly, come here any Tuesday you are chanced. We will not waste your time with baptismal class. We don't even have a certificate to give you. Amen. But I'm telling you, you are not saved until you come under the shadow of God's protection. That name. Hallelujah. Every girl that is young, a young girl, when you are open like that, when you are not married, you are exposed to every man to come near you. Yes. Yes. Some will send text. Some will send person. Some will bring their car to give you lift. Some will write you a letter. Some will buy you. Oh, every man wants your attention, especially when you are beautiful. Though these days, there is no ugly girl again. Amen. Now, that's the truth. There is no ugly girl. Now, listen, church. But after that girl is married, the first thing she does, she drops her maiden name and takes on a new name. The name of her husband. If any man comes near you, there's something they are looking at. They'll see whether you have a ring. I mean, those who are young, if you don't born finish, you don't need the ring. Your body will speak for itself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When they see that ring, they tread carefully around you. Then they will come and try to ask you, what's your name? Every young girl is going to say, I am Mrs. Alu. When you say Mrs. Alu, the guy will not talk any further. How are you, ma? And you go away. Hallelujah. When Peter preached Jesus Christ to them in Acts chapter 2, be you know assuredly that that Jesus Christ whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. And they began to ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the key to the kingdom that was given to him in Matthew 16, the key, it was not a literal key that was given to him. A key is a door opener somewhere. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, there is a key. And that key is verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. He said, repent. That is number one. You must repent first. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and he shall give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know why I remember that scripture? The spiritual marriage is what we see typed by the physical marriage. When you come and you are pronounced husband and wife, hallelujah, you have agreed to marry him, you exchange your vows, you have submitted yourself, he paid the bride price. Jesus said, paid our bride price with his own blood. We are purchased possession of God, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The bride price is paid. You come and then you drop your old identity and you take upon the new identity, Mrs. Jesus, through water baptism and baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you exchange a ring. The ring there is the token of the vow that has been exchanged. Hallelujah. When a man sees that ring, he knows you are missing somebody. And what he does in the spirit is to give you the Holy Ghost. The seal until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. And when the devil comes near you, he sees that you are already sealed. You are sealed in Christ and he is sealed out. He has no power over you again. Hallelujah. He has no power over you again. When he comes tempting you as a demon husband, demon wife, you can tell him, I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. My husband is coming to carry me away to everlasting. And you are not born again until you have received the Holy Ghost. No matter which tongue you are speaking, go and get the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now my emphasis today is just to let somebody know what that name Jesus is. When you see people who have meditated on that name, hallelujah, you hear them raise that song. It's a song that comes out from Revelation. There is power in that name. That name, Jesus. There is healing in the name. Can we stand up? There is deliverance in the name. Say it. There is power in the name. Every knee shall bow. every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Oh, He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Can we stand up and worship our God?
He is Lord.
Amen. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ
is the Lord.
Oh, He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Say He's Lord.
He is Lord. Amen.
Oh, He has risen. Listen, that man Jesus became special because the great eternal spirit dwell in him. In every one of us, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the great eternal spirit coming to dwell in us in a measure. And that's why Apostle Paul says, hallelujah, how can you go and fornicate? Each time you do that, you are defiling the temple of God. Anytime, hallelujah, you say you are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are another Jesus. He becomes a dwelling place. You become a dwelling place. And that is why all the sacrifices and all the offerings, where are they offered? Here in your heart, where He dwells. Amen. Anytime you are born again and you go to fornicate, a fornicator, do you know what you are doing? It's equivalent of the temple in Israel for a man to take a woman and go there to the altar and sleep with her in that altar. Was it possible? No, was it possible? The temple, Solomon's temple, the temple in Israel, that somebody will go to the altar with a woman. He don't know where to sleep. Now where the name of the Lord is kept, he go there to sleep with a woman there to fornicate. Was it possible at that time? If you do it and they catch you, what will happen? Not whether they catch you. God will not even allow you to come out. So it is. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? He said, how will you take the member of Christ and go and join it with a prostitute, a harlot? That's why I say, that's what revelation does. How can I know this? Know who I am. And go and fornicate. And that is what Satan will push all of us to enter, so that the glory of God will depart. Then he can continue dealing with you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's a careless lifestyle we live. That's why the commonest sin in the church is fornication. And you don't know why Satan is pushing you to do it. So that he will continually have control over your life. Keep you miserable. I'm telling you, there is power in living a life of holiness. There's power in living a life of holiness. When he comes, you don't cry too long before he leaves you. Let somebody know it if you have the Holy Ghost. Repent. You know what I'm saying? It's not to condemn you. It's to make you think again. I'm not trying to condemn you. Because this is the beginning of the year. Let your testimony of last year, let it not repeat this year. Let this year be better than last year. Let your relationship with God be better. I'm telling you, don't defy yourself. And there is nothing like secret sin. Secret to who? Secret to God? In the room, God doesn't see what you are doing. In your privacy. When you travel overseas, he's not there with you. There are people that fear men more than God. And you do that because you don't know who God is. He sees everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anytime you call Jesus, you are calling the name of our Maker. It is a bomb in the spirit. When it is spoken from a holy vessel. When you meet a demon, you are jumping up and down looking for prophets. You are jumping up and down looking for deliverance. It is because you know you are not fit. You are not qualified. Because you know you are sincere enough to know. Some of you think that I am special. I am not special for you because there is no special Holy Ghost. There is no small Holy Ghost and big Holy Ghost. It's the same faith. The same faith. There are some of you here that are more anointed than me. Because you have more time to spend with God than even me. Because the more time you spend with God, the closer you be and the more you resemble. Look, why do you think? I told you during the marriage and divorce sessions. I told you that watch every man with his wife. Watch them. After they marry for some time, they go resemble themselves. Eh? Who has observed it? No. Every man that marries, you know what I mean. You know, if you go marry Oyibo, you can never look like Oyibo. You understand what I mean. Praise the Lord. If a black man go marry Oyibo, your nose will remain like that. Her nose will remain like that. But I'm telling you, just watch it. Amen. Why? Because you are so close. You are so close until even your natural makeup even adjusts to the closeness. Until when they see your wife, they see you even physical. So it is spiritual. The closer you are with Christ, the more Christ-like you become. And the closer you are to devil, the more devilish you become. And anytime you see yourself getting worse and worse in your character, it is evidence you are closer and closer to the devil. And church, when I say close to Christ, I'm not saying go to church. After all, demons go to church. Witches go to church. It's more than going to church. I'm talking about a relationship with God. Somebody, change it and be closer to God. And be farther from the devil. How many people agree that is their vow this year? I'll be closer to God. 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 Praise the Lord. Somebody say loud and clear, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say it again. Say it again. Say it. I am the temple. Stand up and say, women, stand up and say, I am the temple. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. Can we pray now? Our time is gone. Amen. God bless you.